All right, so what I wanted to look at today, I wanted to do two separate kind of classes, where the first one is going to be focused on the beginning of the parsha, and the second part will be focused on the end of the parsha. So kind of really two different shiurim, like, we'll break it up into two, actually. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to look at is the parsha starts off, Baloscha, it starts off with the idea, the tzivoy, that Hashem tells to Moshe, tell Aaron, Baloscha asaneros almo pneumonaria irushava asaneros. Tell Aaron that when he raises up the candles to the middle of the menorah, that they will hear irushava teneros. It's a very interesting, phrase, how it phrases it. But what's interesting here is Rashi points out the juxtaposition of the parashios. And what I mean by that is what is interesting, Rashi takes note, is that what we have before this event of where Aaron is given this commandment to be involved in the menorah. So before that, we have the Chanukat Habayit. We have the consecration of the Beis Hamik, of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and it's done where you have 12 days of each tribe, their nasi, their leader, brings a set of offerings, and that's for 12 days, a consecration of the Mishkan. So Rashi says here, why lama nismacha parshas hamenorah leparshas hanesiim? Why do you have this juxtaposition of the nesiim and then the menorah? So then Rashi explains, and this is based on the Tanchuma, when Aaron saw the Chanukah tanesiim, he felt bad. Shelo haya imahen b'chanukah lo hu v'lo shifto, because he and his tribe was not involved in the Chanukah of the Mishkan. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem said, Chayecha shecha gedola mishalhem, yours is greater than theirs, she'ata madlik u'meitiv etanera, because you are the one who lights and takes care, you administer to the candles. Okay, so now the question is like this. How is that? First of all, so the Tanchum is saying that Aaron watched the Nesiim bringing their Karbanon, and he felt bad because he wasn't involved in the Chanukah, not him and not his Shevet. So one thing that is interesting is that the Shevet Levi was his Shevet, even though he became the Kohen and he's broken off into this special thing called Kahuna. But what you see here is that he, at this point, is the head of Shevet Levi, and that they're excluded from the bringing of those karbanot. So now, the nature of those karbanot is, again, it's 12 days of bringing these offerings in. Each tribe, their nasi, their leader, brings this specific set of offerings, and that was done in order to consecrate the temple, the Beis Hamik, the Mishkan. So now Aaron's watching this, and he sees that his Shevet are left out, and therefore he feels bad. Hashem says, don't feel bad. I'm giving you the menorah, which is much greater. So now the question is like this. There are a couple of things that are going on here. One is, why should Aaron feel bad if he's missing out, if he's the one who's going to end up running the show? And Shevet Levi is the one that's, when we look at the encampment, we notice that Shevet Levi has box seats. Right there on the inside, they're the ones who are carrying the Mishkan. They're the ones who are protecting it. They have a special role. So what is it about this that he feels bad about? What is it? What are they missing out on? Because, if anything, they have this, again, this special, long-term job of being the ones who tend to the Mishkan. So why is it that Aaron feels so bad? And then the question is, then the flip side is, why is it that the menorah is the answer to whatever it is that he's feeling bad about. So if we take a step back, what we're talking about is the consecration of the base of the Mishkan, right? So there's this idea of the Chanukah, which is to like to set up to kind of, when you start out something new, how you begin it, right? The first impression is everything. You create a special energy that's going to go towards whatever it is in the future. So the Chanukah, this idea of the starting point, is very, very important in terms of really making, creating the impression of what things are going to be. So Aaron's watching this, and he feels bad. So it's true that he and his tribe are going to be the ones who are really the ones hands-on tending to the daily Mishkan service. But at the same time, so he feels that he's missing out because there's something about this, the Chanukah that's very special. And so he sees that they've been excluded from this, and he feels bad about it. So now, okay, we can understand why, even though he's going to be the daily guy, why he feels bad about missing out on the one who has a major say on the beginning of how it's going to be played out. Okay, but now the question is, so how is it, or why is it that when Hashem gives him the menorah and the idea that he's going to be madlik, he's going to light it, and he's going to be meitiv et hanerot, he's going to tend to, meitiv is he's going to, on a daily basis, he's going to clean up, he's going to be the one maintaining the menorah. So why is that something that's kind of not just an equalizer, but actually is a step up that gives him a special position in terms of what this, in contrast to the idea of the power of Chanukah, of the ones who are going to start the whole ball rolling, now you say, you have the menorah, you have the Hataras Haneros, you're the one who's going to be maintaining it, and therefore your position is much greater. So now if we take a step back and we think about what's really going on here, what is the Mishkan? We really have to look at what the Mishkan's all about. Because what the Mishkan is, Hashem says, "Ve'asuli mikdash v'shachanti besocham." Right? It says, "Make me a tabernacle, make me a mikdash, and so that'll be a place for me to dwell." Okay. So now, what is the whole purpose of this Mishkan, of this tabernacle? If you think about it, we say when we're little kids, we have this song, "Where's God?" God is up, up, down, down, up, he's all around. He's everywhere. So if that's the case, so then if God is everywhere, so then what exactly is the point of the tabernacle? And so the understanding is that it's a place that we are able to go to have a more intense experience of God's presence. We call it the place that the Shekhinah, that which is where God will dwell. Now God is everywhere, but it means that we can go to a certain place where we can have a more intense experience of God. Okay, so that's the Mishkan, which later on becomes the Beis HaMikdash, the temple. And so even today, when we go to, let's say, the Western Wall, we go to that place, the area of where the temple once was, so we can still, we can experience a more intense encounter with God, because there are certain places in the world where there seems to be a more concentrated presence of God. Okay, so now if that is what the Mishkan, the tabernacle, was that first place, and the Ramban Nachmanides explains that when God came down on Mount Sinai and there was a revelation there, so again, what that means is that God, in a sense, revealed himself, and there was an experience, a more intense experience of God than any other place before that in the history of the world. And so it was at that moment that the Jewish people experienced that as a total nation. And then the Ramban explains that experience, that kind of intense encounter with God, was going to now be brought into the Mishkan, into the tabernacle, so that you're not going to have that awesome revelation all the time, but in a certain sense, a me'ain, there's going to be a taste of that on an ongoing basis, and that's going to be housed in the tabernacle, and that will be transported and eventually will end up in the temple, in the Beit HaMikdash, which resides in Jerusalem. But the idea, the takeaway is that when we talk Mishkan, when we talk the tabernacle, when we talk about the temple, what we're really saying is, here's going to be a place where we can go and experience God in a more intense fashion. Not to say that the exclusion of God's presence not being able to be accessed anywhere we go. You know, there are ideas that you can go anywhere and you can experience the, you know, God's presence. It's a matter of making yourself open to it. But there's certain places we're saying that they can have a more intense encounter. That's the Mishkan. So now, when you take a step back and you think about the candelabra, right? So you're talking about the menorah. So the menorah was lit, and so they asked the question, like, wait a second, like, God needs to have a special lamp or, you know, set of lights that's going to be, you know, illuminating for the purpose of giving light. And so when you go into the situation that the Jews had when they were in the desert, so it says that they, for 40 years, there was a intense fire that stayed with the Jewish people throughout, that there was this incredible illumination that actually traveled with them while they were in the desert. So if anything, it just compounds the question, like, what's the purpose of the menorah? It can't be for the light. Do they really, I mean, is that like God needs us to put a light on for him? I mean, he can't see without our menorah. And so the answer is that there must be something a little bit different than to what the menorah is all about. And what it really is kind of like almost like an indicator. Like, if you think about it, when you see this scene of, you know, there's the TV set, and the reporter's there, or, you know, the interviewer, they're about to start a segment, and then the light goes on. And so then you know that when that light goes on, you're on. And so, in a sense, that light, the menorah, what it really is an indicator, it's not for the light, it's to say the presence of God is here. It's more intensely, you know, now called available, but present than it was before. And so that the nature of the menorah, what we need to understand is that the menorah, what it really represents is to say, you know, the light's on here because God's presence is here. It's present. And so it's almost like an indicator that God's here in a more intense way. And so if that's the case, now we go back to the original question. What we started out when we said is that at this juncture, in Numbers 8, when God tells and gives the commandment to Aaron that he's going to light the menorah, and Rashi explains that this is coming to make him feel better about the fact that he missed out on the process of consecration of the tabernacle by him and his tribe not being involved in the 12 days of consecration. And so God says, no, don't worry. Yours is greater than theirs because you get to light the menorah and you get to take care of it. You're the one who's going to maintain the menorah. And so what it really is about when it comes to the menorah, what the menorah is about is it's really about keying in on the idea of how do we get to a place where we can make sure that God's presence is felt and that it's tangible. And so what ends up coming out of this is that the menorah is symbolic of this idea that Aaron and the tribe of Levi are going to be tasked with the idea of being teachers of the Jewish people, that their job is to go out and to give over to the Jewish people the lessons of Torah. And what Torah is really about is it's supposed to be, when it's used properly, as a way for us to be able to come to feeling the presence of the Shekhinah, of God's presence. And so that's the task of Aaron, the Kohanim, the priests, and the Levites. Their job is to bring that, to be the teachers, and to in turn to be the ones who help us as a nation become connected and to be able to really, like, you know, bring the presence of Hashem. And so that's the nature of what the whole, if we take a step back and say, okay, if the whole purpose of the tabernacle and ultimately of the temple is that of a place that's going to be a place that we can go to and really feel the presence of God in a much more intense way, how then the job of the Kohen and the job of Aaron and the lighting of the menorah, what the menorah signifies is God's presence is there. He's here. And so if you want to be connected to the whole idea of the consecrating of the tabernacle, well, okay, it's great. Those 12 tribes and their leaders brought the karbanot that are going to be the part of, that's going to help consecrate what the tabernacle is going to become. But the truth is that what it's all about really, again, is this whole idea of having a place where we can really intensely experience God. And so, Aaron, don't feel bad. You missed out on that 12-day period. Don't worry, because your ongoing task is going to be the one who on a daily basis, your job is to constantly help the Jewish people get to that place of being the one who helps us experience the intense, you know, again, presence of God that we can experience in the temple, in the tabernacle, in these places of worship. And so if anything, you know, it's like to bring it to our, you know, day and age. So there are a couple of things. One is, just as a side, we understand that when we go to a synagogue, so when we go to a place of prayer, so the idea is that is a place that should be a mikdash ma'at. It should be a mini temple. But the idea of that is that it should be a place that when we go there, it should be conducive for us to be able to have a more intense experience of the presence of God. Maybe it doesn't work out that way, and maybe we're not, you know, creating that space that will bring that to the fore. But the idea is that's what it should be. And so the idea of the idea of the menorah is, it's almost like an indicator. God's presence is more intensely present here. And so Aaron is the one who's going to be involved in lighting it, but also Hatava Taneirot, which means to the maintenance of. It's like I need to be able to prepare to get us to that place of where God's presence will be felt. And so the Hatava Taneirot, the idea that he maintains the menorah, is really more of an allusion to, not practically, he does take care of the menorah, but he also is the one who's going to be involved in helping us get to a place where we can feel and actually experience the more intense presence of God. And so therefore, what God is saying to him is, don't feel bad. You think you missed out on this consecration process? There's nothing that you missed out on, because you ultimately are the one who's going to, quote unquote, carry the torch. No pun intended, but maybe pun intended. But the idea that you're going to bring the light, because the light is symbolic of that more intense presence of God, and you're the one who's involved in helping create not just, you know, that one-time thing, but the whole environment, the context of where that can really be done properly. And it's interesting, as you think about it, as a side, because we had this past week, meaning go back to Naso, when we have the blessing of Aaron, the priestly blessing, it really is predicated on peace. And so part of what Aaron does, besides being a teacher of Torah, is also works on the idea of creating an environment that's predicated on peace, which allows for the presence of Hashem to be that much more felt. Meaning that if there's not a state of peace amongst the people, then that actually prevents the true presence of Hashem coming through. And so you see that now Aaron's role is not just lighting the menorah, but also you know this kind of, like, once you have this basic idea, it actually flows to like other ideas. For example, when we light the Shabbos candles on Friday night, the idea is to bring light into the home, and that is really the idea of bringing peace into the home, right? So where's that coming from? It's again, and by the way, when we do that, we are bringing the presence of God into our homes, where we can feel it more intensely. So you see this idea of the light, the bringing of the light, which really is a derivation from I believe that that's coming from the same idea of the menorah, that it will in turn also, the way we see that, the way it's formulated in the writings of the rabbis, that it's talking about bringing peace into the home. But that when we do that, in essence, that is like the opening that brings the Shekhinah, which is the presence of God, into our home. So you see this again. This is like, you know, they're all kind of connected. The idea of Aaron also is the one who is Ohev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom. He loves peace. He runs after peace. He runs to be able to help create equal, you know, equal, we call equilibrium, or like the idea of peace amongst family members, neighbors, etc. Because that in turn is what helps allow the opening for the Shekhinah, for Hashem's presence, to really come in. What's also as a very important side is that when it comes to blessing and the idea of God coming in, is also in a certain sense, I mean, again, the idea that blessing, we sometimes think that we're asking God to bring us blessing. God, you should send us blessing. You should give me, you know, I need this, I need that, I need, I need, you know, good livelihood, I need good health, etc. And the answer sometimes, where maybe not sometimes, but what we need to understand is that in a certain sense, God's blessing is endless. And so that what really is, the flip side is that we need to be a vessel. We need to be able to have the capacity to be able to receive the blessing. So God's giving is endless, but that it's really predicated on our ability to be able to be ready to receive. And that we should really be asking, not just for the blessing, but we should ask God to give us the ability. When we say we ask God for peace, what we're saying in a certain sense is that we're asking God, let us be ready to receive. Give us the ability to expand, to be expansive, to be able to receive that abundant blessing that's there. And so that in a certain sense, we're always thinking it's, you know, I'm looking over there, you know, send me, you know, and the answer, you know, I think in many ways is that we need to look at, you know, back at ourselves and say, okay, I can be involved in this. Am I doing what I need to do to be able to expand myself, to be able to really receive all that blessing that Hashem, that God is able and is willing and is giving. And so I think the answer is that most of the time we're the ones who create, or we are the ones who negatively impact whether or not that blessing can actually come through. That we don't allow ourselves to become that expansive vessel to be able to really receive. And one of his major teachings is that of peace, that just to be able to also understand that if we're at peace with ourselves, with our family members, with our friends, and with our neighbors, etc., that that's a very important piece to, in terms of, again, to be able to allow the blessing and also for the presence of Hashem to be really very much felt. And so, you know, it's like a package deal. And so, kind of like to close this idea out, is that that's exactly what Hashem is telling Aaron. You feel bad that you missed out on the initial consecration of the tabernacle. And Hashem says, no, yours is much greater than theirs, because you're the one who's going to be you're going to be the one lighting. You're going to be creating that light of peace that allows for the blessing to come, for the presence of God to me. And so it's an extremely, extremely powerful, job. And so, but what we understand is that ultimately what brings us back to understanding, you know, sometimes we lose sight of like what the point of everything is. Here, what we're saying is, you know what this Mishkan is? You know what the temple is? You know what the idea of that is to give us a space to be able to really feel the presence of the Shekhinah, the Shochin. The idea of God's presence is that idea that he dwells. That's the word of Shekhinah, Shochin, is that God is dwelling. And so it gives, God again is everywhere, but it's a question of where do we allow God to enter. They say like that also, like Hasidic idea is that, Vasuli Mikdash Veshachanti Besocham is make me a temple so that I can dwell within you. And so the idea of this also, on the most personal level, is to be able to also not just look at it from a place of where the building, you have a place to go to, but that also we need to, in turn, make ourselves a vessel, right? We have to open our hearts to allow God in. And so, again, this is all like connected to the idea of allowing, making ourselves, that much more expansive. But what it boils down to is to allow for Hashem's presence, to really be truly felt. So that's actually right there.